Okay, what I'd like to do in the purpose of this talk is to give you information so you can join the team. Talking to the doctor is not talking to God now. You're supposed to be involved in that discussion also. And so it's your body and it's your problem and you have control. All right? Now, the goals of this talk are, how do you make your decision, and what is it going to be? How do you get good medical care? And how do you read the drug inserts? And how do you, check on the type of study and what treatment is good for you? Remember, we're all very unique in many, many ways. Okay. The evidence that you get is stories, testimonials. When you watch TV, they say it's scientifically proved. I don't know whether it got three people to vote on it and it made it scientific, or they really did something, and there's no way of finding out. Because during time, I can remember when copper wire around the wrist was good for arthritis. It may still be that way. And magnets were even better because they were later. And if it came from India in ancient times, where most people couldn't read and write, that's even better. How many of you old enough to remember warfarin? Okay, that's rat poison. The university found that one. Yep. Okay. Now the history is that old beliefs are part of the scientific basis, whether they are or not. Historically, our medical history came way back in the early days. Greek was responsible for the history, and they got most of their information from a single doctor. They did not do any lab work. They didn't do any dissection on the human body, so they had no idea what happened under the skin. The only people that they would allow them to touch later in life was the criminals that were executed. So there was a bunch of people standing in line to get the body when he quit jerking. So, okay. One of the problems with beliefs is that there's an investment in the current status. When they discovered that soap and water was the best preventive for infection, it took them almost 50 years to convince most people to wash their hands before they got operated on, or before they operated. Because the status symbol was to have a top hat, a black frock coat with a lot of blood and pus on it, because that meant you were important, and you'd been there and done that. So, then the problem also is communication. Up until recently, the lag between discovering something and being satisfied that it was valuable and getting it out to the public or the doctors was 10 years. So that if you got a current textbook, it was 10 years old. And when I was first started practicing medicine, the guy from out of town that had a box of slides was the expert. Okay, and one of the things we need to do is how do we build on earlier learning? Because you can't have a computer without wire, but you can't have wire until you can mine copper and you realize copper conducts electricity, and you can't have wire until you figure out how to pull it out, induct it, so you get wire. Okay. Let me go to the next group. Okay. Now, the big buzzword now is evidence-based medicine. And normally, if you'll read an article, if it's scientifically based, it'll say evidence-based medicine says and how they got there. How do you evaluate the information? Well, what you want to do is somewhere in that drug insert, they'll tell you a little bit about how they arrived at that. What was the study? How many people were in the study? Sometimes they make decisions with a very small number. Part of it is it how scary is the end results if you don't treat it. When I was growing up, nobody had a treatment for measles. So everybody, well, you're going to have measles. didn't make any. We never talked about them going blind or dying or having pneumonia or any of the other problems that they have. Now they get upset about it and they want to protect everybody from measles. If they get a couple of cases, they really panic. But a lot of the childhood illnesses were really disastrous. Okay. The strength of the studies are categorized. One is if it's a random study, that means they just gave it out sort of randomly without any sort of trying to define who got the medicine, so or do they fit each other. Are they all 16-year-old or are they all 80-year-olds? Is that, it depends on where you are in the category, whether it makes any difference to you. The number needed to treat is a very significant number. If you're taking a medicine that's $100, $150 a day, and you look and it took 6 years treating 600, then you need to think about it. Well, really? At 90, is 6 years a real risk? And do I want to spend that much money for it? Will I get a bang for my buck? And how do you make it useful to you? Because remember, these are general studies, and we're all different. And I'm going to give you some websites that will help on that. In the past, evidence to the general public is grandma was the source of medical information. That's one of the reasons why it's so expensive and the emergency room is so full. There's no grandmas. The extended family doesn't exist anymore. I can remember I was taking care of, and the lady came in with the baby, and her husband came in, and his pacifier on the baby was his finger. And the baby was dehydrated. She could not go home with the baby. The baby stayed in the hospital for a week. They called her and said, come and get her. They gave her a sample of formula, and they gave her a sample of Pedialyte. So she thought you're supposed to make the formula with the Pedialyte. And the Pedialyte has got a lot of electrolytes in it, not what you want to mix a formula with. It has a lot of minerals in it, so it takes a lot of water to handle it. It's mainly designed for diarrhea. So, not baby formula. So, the poor kid was dehydrated, and it took me a while to figure out what they were doing there, because I couldn't figure out why the baby was dehydrated. Anyway, okay. Then, in the hierarchy, next is custom. And that's very powerful. It's very difficult to change custom. One of the greatest control of behavior is custom. Not many of us are willing to run around that neighborhood naked. But I'm not sure there's a law that says you can't, but I would have a great deal of trouble doing that. Okay, the next source is infomercials. And if you pay attention to them, blessings. Okay, next is fellow workers. When I was working for the government, we had a supply, you come by and we'd give you an aspirin or a cold capsule or anything was over the counter. It was relatively expensive. And we went through about $5,000 worth of this stuff. And all of a sudden it stopped, and I figured that the desk drawer is full. So the guy that says, oh, I got this for you, it worked really great on my grandmother, or it worked good on my neighbor, or whatever was the matter with you. And then best of all is the internet, and then again your healthcare provider. Okay, in the past they validated the treatment by observation. So if you got better with whatever they were doing, that was okay. Remember, they killed George Washington by treating him. They bled him, they puked him, and they gave him diarrhea. So. He died of an abscess, by the way. Okay, didn't work before. Then we begin to get scientific. In about the 1800s, Koch came up with his postulate. And his postulate was that if you had the disease and whatever it was showed up in the disease every time you had it, then it caused the disease. Okay, and that was something that was really hard to swallow for most people. And then they began to do experimentation. They gave them a disease, or they gave other animals the disease. Not all animals can catch all the diseases the human beings have. Okay, evidence-based medicine is how you ask the questions. Okay, the studies are historical, anecdotal, observation, cohort studies, which are remarkably good for a source of information, like the nurses' study. They've got all these nurses that, I think this is 70th year, where they record what they're doing, what medicine they're taking, what problems they're having, and how they're doing. It's not a control study, but if you watch, then they begin to tease out that, okay, reserpine doesn't really work very well for hypertension, and besides that, the people have hallucinations, so you really don't want to take it. Then the random study is where you randomly come in and you get it, or she doesn't get it, and he gets it, and she doesn't get it. The problem with that is that I'm an unknown factor. If I think this is going to work, I give it to my friends. If I don't think it's going to work, I give it to people I don't like. And you don't know which category you're in. Then the random control is where I give it out, but I don't control who gets it. And so I don't know whether to talk about how good it is or not. And then random control double blind is the most powerful. Because until they break the code, they haven't got a clue. Part of the flaw in that is that sometimes it's really obvious what you have. They did a study that I got involved in where they gave aspirin and vitamin C. Well, all you got to do is taste the tablet, and you knew it was either aspirin or vitamin C. So, and besides that, I bled from the aspirin, so I had to stop. Okay, what you need to look for when you're looking at the studies is the size of the study, and they'll give you the confidence level. Confidence level is a term that the statisticians use when they say the standard deviation. How big is the standard deviation? And be sure what they're testing is what they're talking about. And do the conclusion fit the test? For instance, if you have a test that you're doing as a screening, and it's 98% accurate, meaning that 98% of all the people that have the problem will test positive. And it's sensitivity, meaning that 98% of all of the tests, the people will have it. And the occurrence of the disease in the population is 10%, and you're getting a random study. It's 50-50 chance it's going to be correct. 50-50. So kind of watch it when they want to do a study, because half the time it's not valid. Okay. One of the rules is that if the lab work is abnormal, don't treat the lab work, do it again. Because if 50-50, it may not be positive the next time. Okay, how do we go from the general to the specific? One is you pay attention to your body. What does your body tell you when this sort of thing happens? And there's a whole lot of confusing factors. One is how fast you metabolize the drug. The drug is supposed to last 12 hours, but you get rid of it in 4. So it's not working really very well for you. Or you get rid of it in a month. Now all bets are off what's going on. Then we have people that are taking other drugs and they're canceling out. There's a narcotic that you take, and you take a different kind of narcotic, it blocks it. So that neither one of them is working for you. And that we're so different. I had two patients in the hospital. Both of them were in heart failure. Both of them had to be female. One of them, every time they gave her digitalis to get her under control, she become toxic. So Then they had another one that they never could get her under control, and they gave her digitalis, and nothing was happening. To make a long story short, when I was in school, they said, well, how you digitalize real quick is you made them sick, and that means they were getting enough. So the lady that they never could settle down, I gave her a lethal dose of digitalis. She took 8 a day, and that was her maintenance dose. The other lady got a new pill, she licked it and threw it away, and that was her dose every day. And both were, and how do I look at me and say, I'm one of those people? I don't know. You just have to pay attention to your body. And remember, just because it says this is a normal dose, doesn't mean that's the normal dose for you. Because it varies all over the place. Okay. The other thing is the placebo effect. Very, very powerful. Some doctors resist using the placebo. Others are perfectly willing to use the placebo. And we've all used it. We kiss the kids boo-boo and they quit crying. That's placebo. Because there's nothing therapeutic in kissing their boo-boo. Okay. And then, again, we don't know what food you're taking because we all eat a little different. If you're on thyroid, you're supposed to take thyroid on an empty stomach, and you're supposed to have it in a cool, dry place. So if you take it on an empty stomach and keep it in the bathroom, it's moist. So that you're not storing it right. And if you go out and run and have a cup of coffee, oops, it's not supposed to be on an empty stomach. Okay, the problem with evidence-based medicine is it takes time to publish it. And somebody has to fund it, and somebody has to think it's valuable enough to fund it, and then again, it has to be published. It's like the daily news. If Trump says something, that's all you're going to hear about. The world could come to an end over there, and you'll never hear it. Okay, here's the numbers needed to be treated. You calculate that, you need to know the absolute risk reduction, which is the inverse of the number needed to treat is inverse of the absolute number needed to treat. The ARR, absolute risk reduction, is the control event rate, or the number per thousand in an experimental rate. And the number needed to treat is always rounded up. One of the first statins came out, it took 660 people treated for 5 years to prevent one event. And the side effects were a lot worse than that. By the way, side effects are one of the things you need to pay attention to. If you go to Walgreens and Walgreens fills all your prescriptions, they're supposed to have a computer program that checks for interactions. They may or may not be doing it if they're busy, but you can do it, and it's one of the websites that we handed out. Okay, any questions on the number needed to treat? Did I hear yes? No? Okay. All right.
Okay.
South Voice, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. I'm interested in a study where per 1,000, or maybe it was just 1,000 total, 4 people who took a medication got a dread disease, and 7 who didn't got a dread disease. Is this wash? That's about 1% total.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
I know it's pretty close. To me, it says it doesn't matter.
Right.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Okay. Okay. One of the problems with the placebo is that the placebo is supposed to have everything in it that's in their real drug container except the drug. And so you may be allergic to the container. When you look at the side effects versus controls versus placebos, then there's headaches, nausea and vomiting, and diarrhea. on dizziness, hair falling out, all on the placebo. There's a few more on the drug. So now you're trying to figure out which is what. Is it the placebo, or is it the ingredients that the pill is made out of, or what? And so the problem is the side effects of the drug itself and the inert parts. If you're allergic to pork, the capsules that are gelatin are all come from pork. So, Jell-O is all pork. Very little comes from the cow. Some from the muscle and the hoof, but most of it is from pork. Okay, you have to decide. Okay. Am I concerned enough about this that's worthwhile? Nobody in my family ever had a heart attack, or nobody in my family ever had cancer. Do I need to worry about it? And then part of the problem is they just decided coffee wasn't going to kill you. It was good for you. When I first started drinking coffee, I was going to drop dead within a week or two. Then it was going to save me. Then it was going to kill me. I was going to have something else. And then I wasn't going to have prostate cancer. And you girls can safely drink coffee because you don't have a prostate, so you don't have to worry about that. And now it's supposed to be good for you. So who knows? Okay. Any questions? Okay. Let's talk about what's available. One of the things while I'm loading this website up, is if you have final orders and you go to the hospital and those final orders don't go with you, they don't exist. So you want to figure out some way that your final order is what you want done, always go with you. And so you want a gazillion copies. You want the doctor to have a copy. You want the lawyer to have a copy. You want the kids that like you to have a copy and those that don't like you to have a copy. Now this is all in your handout, but let me kind of go through this pretty quick. I noticed in it that I revise this so many times I forget stuff. There, I have a website where you can download your final wishes. I can't do it because if I start trying to download it, I have to fill it out. So, I can send it to you. Just email me and I'll send it to you if you want it. Okay, the search engines you already know about. Okay, there's an unbelievable amount, and now they're beginning to give you a chance to work out the cost. The cost for an MRI varies all the way from $130 to $6,000. So if you're getting an MRI, it's like taking a picture. You really don't care who takes a picture. You just want the picture. So if you're footing the bill, do some looking around and find out where do you get the MRI the best place. There's two general kinds of MRIs. The open, for those that are claustrophobic, and the ones that where they run you through the tunnel. If you're claustrophobic, the open. Open is not as good because the intensity of the magnetic fields are not as much. And that's what this amino does. I guess I should have left the mouse in there. Okay, Catherine will give you the summary, and they look at the studies and they put them together and give you a summary. And if you can't find it, sometimes you go to the hospital in the library and you're delighted to have something to do, and she'll usually download them for you. Some of these are like the British Medical Journal and the New England Journal of Medicine are two journals that have a high standard for being very careful about what gets published. They won't publish some stuff just because they don't be sure it's well. One of the best treatments for snake bite is EDTA. And EDTA is a killing agent they use for lead poisoning. And I ran across it because they did a lot of research in the veterinary medicine looking for a treatment for a very poisonous spider in South Pacific during World War II. And I don't know, I can't prove how I found this, all these articles, but I did, and the guy sent me some, so. And that's really quite remarkable. And the only drawback is you inject it in the skin and it hurts. It's also good for the brown recluse spider and rattlesnakes and coral snakes. If you're a veteran, you can sign up for your medication with the VA without being treated. Yes. EDTA. Easy. Dog, Tango, okay. Yeah, it's a chelating agent, and it's readily available. They use it for lead poisoning. Yeah. Okay, you have to be sure it's a brown recluse. Okay. No. Free. Yeah. The website I gave you are free. And you can go in and wander around and look to see what's going on. Consumers Reports is beginning to do a lot of research on how you determine how good your physician is or how safe your hospital is. And that's really critical because the standing in the community doesn't have anything to do with how good they are. The most famous vascular surgeon for doing heart transplant and coronary transplants had the most god-awful operating room results of anybody. They finally took his operating permit away from him because he was just a disaster. We had an orthopod, greatest lecture you ever saw. He could explain things like you wouldn't believe, but he walked in the operating room and whoever the patient was going to have lots of pus. And they called it laudable pus, meaning you could see it. And they finally banned him from the operating room, and the infection has disappeared. And we never did figure out how he contaminated their body, but he did. Okay. Okay, in the handout is where you log in, you fill out a form, you send it to the VA, and they'll fill your medication for you. You know, that you don't have to necessarily be drawn disability of any level. You just have to be a veteran. Now, they don't necessarily have all the drugs, but they've got some. Okay, buying drugs over Mexico sounds wonderful. The problem is there's absolutely no control. I can make anything I want, label it anything I want, and put it out and sell it. Had a friend at the Mexican government ask him, would he take over distribution of the drugs? And he went down and looked around, and he said, wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. There was absolutely no control over anything. And the packages, you know, with a camera and a printer, you can make a package look just like the original. In Canada, most of the drugs are made in India. I don't know where our drugs are made, so I can't tell you good, bad, or indifferent. So, and they usually tell you that they're made in India, and they'll tell you some of the drugs you have to send them a copy of your prescription, and others you don't. And I've not heard a lot of bad things about buying medication from Canada. If you need a lot of Imprint 3 for any reason, it's called 333, and it's over-the-counter, so you don't need a prescription for the Tylenol with codeine. Okay. Yes. What's the... No, I hadn't seen that one.
Good, I believe it's goodrx.com. And they show coupons available that you can use at Costco or Walmart or all the different pharmacies.
Good.
And I've used it and got discounts on prescriptions.
Yes, great. If you can get it so that you can obtain it, the cheapest drugs you can get are usually Costco. And you don't have to be a member. So you can, I know my son came, who's a diabetic, came to see me, and he was paying $21 a bottle for his insulin. We went to Costco just for the fun of it and asked how much did it cost, and it was $11, and he thought he'd gone to heaven. Okay, now.
Not in the same time. Rather, can you do it in two different days? Because it is 10 years I have not eaten grapefruit, which I like, because my wife said, don't take it.
No, so, it has to be done at the same time.
Okay, can you do next day?
Next day is fine.
It's fine?
Actually, about 4 hours later is fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
There's a whole list in the handout of medications that interact with grapefruit, medicines that interact with calcium. So when in doubt, try and look on the drug insert and it says how to take it. And they determine that with the study. So that's one thing you do get from the drug insert. Okay, there's the drugs that interact with grapefruit. And here's a group of that interact with calcium. And the information didn't tell me that, antacids contain aluminum. Blood pressure medicine taken with calcium shouldn't be. The cholesterol-lowering medication, it's used to be when I was young that if you weren't taking thyroid, nobody loved you. Everybody got a quarter grain of thyroid regardless. Now, if you're not taking a statin, nobody loves you. The side effects from statin, the list is really long, and some of them are really nasty. For a long, long time, the first statin, you had to have lab work done to be sure your liver wasn't going to south on you. So, think about when you get a new medicine. Wait a minute, do I really need this? Is there a plan B that I don't need this? Is there an alternative treatment that I can take instead of this? And some of them are really common, like the statins and the corticosteroids. The steroids, some doctors love it. If it doesn't make any difference what's the matter with you, you're going to get steroids. They figured out that if you shot cortisone into a joint for arthritis, you could only do it about 3 times. Well, that's really not true, but that's an awful lot of cortisone to dump in your body. So I don't use it much, if at all. Somewhere I got to stop. Is there any questions? Yes. On what?
On the steroids, sir. Is there a natural alternative?
It depends on what you're taking it for.
Something for the joints.
Most of the anti-inflammatories, Aleve and ibuprofen, they're better because they don't do bad things to the rest of the body.
Okay.
And you can take them a long time, yeah.
Thank you. And a comment, in regards to veterans, there is a program called My Healthy Vet that if veterans sign up on that program through their local Veterans Administration, they can actually have FaceTime chats with their doctors. They can refill prescriptions. There's a number of things that they can do through My Healthy Vet. If there's anything going on with them symptomatically, they can also make a call through there and talk to their nurse, or it'll go directly into their medical file.
Okay, you're talking about treating your animals, not yourself?
No, U.S. military veterans. Not veterinarian, veteran.
Veteran, okay.
Yes, sir, U.S. military.
Okay. Well, I know you can get veterinary medicine filled.
No, sir, but okay. It's called My Healthy Vet.
Okay.
And they can, I'm sorry, that's probably where the confusion lied.
Okay.
But they can go on that program through their primary care physician and get all kinds of important help and services and pharmaceutical refills and everything through that.
Okay, great.
I'm a U.S. military veteran, that's why.
Okay.
I know.
So any other comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah. Why is it some doctors, this is the west side of town, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, West LA, are so resistant to studies? I had two cases in my life for two different diseases. I went in and cited a whole bunch of studies off the internet. I usually use Google. I call it Dr. Google. And I've been physically pushed out of their office, no charge. Two different doctors, two different situations. Why are doctors so resistant to these studies? I look up Mayo Clinic and the British, medical journals in New England and so forth. Ah, that's a bunch of hogwash. I'm your doctor. I'll tell you what to do.
You were safe.
So I walked out of the office, well, no charge, whatever. But
good.
Why is it they resist these things?
That I can't answer. Part of it is, I'm sure, an ego thing. But you got to remember, as your doctor, I'm only good as my memory. So if I don't remember, you can't have it.
But the evidence is there. If I said a doctor, if 100 studies say that this drug or this treatment is good for you, he said, no.
Okay.
I'll take care of you.
All right.
And well, whatever.
Well, I'm glad you got thrown out.
Yeah. Things went on. What else?
All right. Anybody else? Does anybody know what kind of a doctor? Yes.
Thyroid, because their effectiveness may be increased or decreased. But anyhow, it doesn't say whether it's for hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism.
It's hypo, always. Propothyroxine is what they give it when it's too much. Hyper. Does anybody know what kind of a doctor I am? There's homeopathic, eclectic, allopath, and homeopath. An osteopath. Sorry, I left him out. They're pretty well getting to, or there's a naturopath. And each one of them has different restrictions on what they can do in the chiropractor. All of them tend to be coming towards the central. They want to be able to treat. They want to be able to prescribe. Years ago, the guy that fitted your glasses couldn't do any tests at all. He couldn't check you for glaucoma. He wondered if you had glaucoma, but he couldn't test for it. It's a non-invasive test. So now they can do it. And so they can do visual fields and things like that. They can't operate and they can't give antibiotics, I don't think. But like you say, the problem is, one is how do you get good medical care? And one is if a guy doesn't listen to you, it's time to go. If he interrupts you within the first 3 seconds, it's time to go. And I tell you, as a doctor, it's hard not to interrupt them. They go on and on and on. And you want to ask them about this back here. And then there's a terminology that we use that may not be what you think it means. And that's always the problem. I worked in an orthopedic clinic, and it was really remarkable. This doctor would talk real fast. And then he would get to the end and he'd summarize to mama about how to take care of the child. Then the nurse would be taking notes and she'd walk out with him and she'd make mama tell him again what did he say. And if it wasn't right, she'd repeat it again. And then when they signed him out, they made him tell him again. What did the doctor say? And the compliance in that group was really unbelievable. So that's the hardest thing. And what you need to do is tell me again, and I don't understand if you don't understand. Or if he's using terminology that you're not sure just exactly what it means, make him tell you again. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, you're going to have to use the mic. I didn't hear.
Yeah, I was just saying that my wife and I found it very beneficial for the two of us to go. If she has an appointment, I'll go with her, and I'm thinking and asking questions as well as she, and vice versa. So the two of you should go.
Excellent. Yes. Because you'll hear something the other one doesn't hear, or you'll see something on his face that the other one didn't hear. And by the way, he is not a good thing for doctors. They're mostly she now. When I was in medical school, my class had three females. and now it's 90% female. So, yes, sir. Well, they don't say you can't. I'm not sure. When I was just starting in the rural community, this gal brought me this horse that had run through a barbed wire fence and wanted me to sew him up. And I said, I don't know a thing about horses, and I'm not going to sew him up without numbing him up. And the numbing him may kill him, because animals act completely different. If you give a cat morphine, they start dancing on their toes. It excites them instead of makes them calm down. But in answer to your question, I'm not aware of any prohibition.
My specific question would be, you've had a considerable number of decades to observe medical care, but also you probably developed some philosophies on diet and exercise. So could you elaborate your specific philosophy? What practices do you follow in your daily life with respect to diet and exercise?
Well, exercise seems to be good for anything. Particularly if you have a muscle like a bad back, if you don't exercise, it's going to get worse. If you do not move a joint, it'll freeze. So it can't work after that. So you have to exercise. Whatever you need to do to keep the range of motion is really important. Does that answer your question? A well-balanced diet without saying don't eat this, eat a lot of that sort of thing. We're carnivorous animals, so a little of this and a little of that is fine. It's not a lot of sugar and not a lot of other stuff that's artificial. So, but they find out cocoa is good for you, so you can't win. You had a question.
You were talking about evaluating studies. How large does a study have to be valid? And the other question is, medical terminology is very complicated. Is there a good place to get a dictionary that you can understand?
It's called Google or Wikipedia, because they will define it. And it's not bad. I use Wikipedia a lot. I can't spell for sour apples, and I have trouble with sour apples. So I use Google to hunt for it. And somebody comes in with a medicine, I'm not sure I know what they... I'll start off with Google medicine, and I'll start typing the name in as they said it. And it'll usually give me a choice, and I can tell by looking, oh, that's what it is. Okay. What was your other question? Oh, this optimum size. That's a question they ask every experimenter. What is the optimum size? More is better, but if you get a big enough group, maybe you'll get false results. So I would say, depending on how common it is, that you want, let's say it's 10% of the population and you're going to try and make a difference, I would want 10,000. Now, I'm not sure that I can defend that scientifically, but that's my feeling. Okay, anything else?
Do you have anything in this list about, I'm on Medicare, and I also have AARP for prescriptions.
Right.
So I went, called up my AARP company this morning, and they almost doubled my premium. Now it's because they said, the answer was, is because you've had a number of high-priced drugs that you've been getting in the last few years. Are you then telling me then it's like car insurance? The more accidents you have, up goes the premium? Now, do you have anything here I can shop around for Blue Cross, Blue Shield, anything outside of AARP where I can get my drugs under Medicare?
Yeah.
That's Plan B,
There's
Plan C, Plan D. Is
there
anything in this list, though?
I don't remember seeing it there. Let me think a minute. Because that's always been... Do you have consumers' reports?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you have consumers' reports? Do you
subscribe
to it? No,
but I can get it.
Find somebody that has it, that has internet access, and you can get on and ask
that
question.
Well, that's what I plan on doing. It's almost doubled.
Yeah.
The last month or so.
Yes.
Too much. It's $100 a month.
The Medicare website has a drug section where you can put in your particular drugs with the, you know, amount of dosage and such, and see what several plans will charge you for that. And I can tell you afterwards which plan I chose and why.
Okay, are you a veteran? Okay. Yes.
What are your thoughts about medical marijuana?
Now, let me tell you my prejudice. If you do anything to scramble your brains, you're not starting off from zero. You know, it doesn't make anybody bright. You know, a glass of wine is socially acceptable, but usually at supper, you're not going to be jumping in the car and going to work. I have a real problem with any sort of psychoactive drug.
But what if its side effects are far fewer, and you can control when you take the substance? You can also take it in food so that you don't have to smoke it. You don't have to inhale it. There's oils that you can take that you can cook with. There's a ton of different ways that you can ingest it now.
But you're taking it for a reason. What is
yes,
the
sir.
Reason?
So if it's glaucoma or pain or a cancer patient, that's what I'm saying specifically, medical marijuana.
Okay. Glaucoma seems to work in glaucoma. I'm not sure about the other. You hear stories, but now we got a problem with nobody's done a controlled study. And part of the problem is they can't dose relate the marijuana. You know, this batch is it twice as strong as this other batch? And which chemical is it they're testing for to when they're testing it? Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. The one with GDP, it's called Granddaddy Purple. That specifically has less than 3% THC, and they've found that to be very, very helpful with cancer patients. And Canada, as a country, is doing a major study next year, as is NIH, the National Institute of Health here in America.
Yeah, it's kind of the gee whiz thing of today, so I'm sure they'll be doing a lot of studies. Hopefully they'll be good ones.
Hi, do you have any thoughts on how to reverse diabetes?
I can tell you what they're selling now. And what they do is they have you go on a high vegetable diet with controlled carbohydrates. And it seems to work because the liver, and there's a new study, it looks like they got a virus that they can give you that makes the pancreas start producing insulin again. So if that turns out to be as good as it sounds, they'll have a cure for diabetes. Type 2, but it'll work if it makes the pancreas do insulin, type 1 will work too. They're going to start it on type 1, I'm sure. Yes.
About the marijuana question and how dangerous it is. Marijuana was used by the Indians for the peace pipe. It was a very common way to relax. Carl Sagan was a very heavy user of marijuana, by the way, and so did a lot of famous people, including scientists. Now, sometime in the 1920s, I believe it was in around 1927, before the FDA came into existence, there was another organization, and it was very corrupt. And the head guy of that organization put his son in some high position. Now, every year, his son, the person in that position would have to go to Congress and tell them what they have observed. So he didn't know what to do. This guy knew nothing about medicine at all. So he had to come up with something. Here he was standing in front of Congress. He said, marijuana is the most dangerous drug. The black people in Harlem, when they take marijuana, they want to rape white girls. Now, at that stupid statement, it became a dangerous drug.
Well, there's not a limit to dangerous.
But that's how it became dangerous, with that stupid statement. Congress went ahead, and they said it's a very dangerous drug if it causes people to do something like that.
Okay. The Hatch Act was passed, which says that certain chemicals were narcotics and they had to be controlled, and marijuana was one of them. If you look in the British Pharmacopoeia, they talked about it, particularly from its use in India. The problem that they had with their experience with it, it was unpredictable because one batch would work and the next batch wouldn't work, and they were trying to give it for anesthesia because the biting the bullet is not very good when they're cutting your leg off. So I don't know. Again, a lot of what you said is emotional, and so, you know, it's like alcohol. If you're a teetotaler, hard but fast, then anybody that takes a sip of alcohol is going to doom. They're going to hell in the basket. So, and yet it's part of the culture for alcohol is now. I presume marijuana will be that way too soon. Okay, anything else?
When they tested certain vitamins, they didn't use the right dosage. Didn't get the results.
Okay, you know, they found vitamins by trying to take everything out of food so that they only had, say, starch. And so they took rice, took the hulls off of it, they washed it like crazy, they gave it to the rats, and they died. Then they started adding things to have the rats live. And vital is what vitamins started from, and then they begin to get better at it. And we have ways of testing things now that didn't exist for a long, long time. Everybody knew what hepatitis A was, and a few people knew what hepatitis B was, but we had hepatitis that wasn't A and wasn't B. We didn't know what it was, but we knew it wasn't A and wasn't B. Now it's C, and pretty soon we're going to find out there's D there, and so forth. So we're getting better. Whether we use that information better or not, we'll see. But we certainly test things that we couldn't test at all before. Okay? Anything else? Okay, my watch says it's 8:30. What time do we shut her down? I'll talk forever.
Well, thank you very much. We want to give him a thank you for a great presentation.